Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Anna Campbell. Hello, Anna.
Hello, Gary.
So Anna's our education reporter here at the News Tribune. She covers elementary and secondary education. Most recently, she's been covering some legislation that's being considered over at the General Assembly. It's regarding teacher pay. Anna, walk us through what they're talking about there at the state legislature.
Governor Parson, in his State of the State, said we want to raise teacher pay as kind of an effort at keeping teachers in the workforce and attracting teachers to the workforce. So the minimum pay in statute right now is $25,000. A lot of districts pay more than that, but they can set that as they want. It just has to be minimum $25,000. This plan would raise it to $38,000. Wouldn't set that for everybody. It's a grant program, so it would be optional. And school districts could apply based on however many employees they have under that pay to raise that pay level. And it's a 70-30 grant. They'd receive 70% of the funding, and then they'd have to supply 30% of that themselves.
Okay, so now you say that they're doing that for retention. So kind of walk us through what's going on there with that.
Teacher recruitment, teacher retention, it's kind of trending downward. And it's something that's been, I think, exacerbated by the pandemic. There's just a lot of extra hurdles in there. There's added stress from that. And being sort of daily on the front lines of COVID, you know, maybe some of that has calmed down a little bit. But extra strain, extra duties they have to take on. And then, of course, people are leaving the workforce and people are thinking, you know, I could work somewhere else that's less stressful, right, than this. And teaching is a hard job anyway, right?
So it really is. I mean, I think back, you know, it's been many years since I've had a teacher, I will say. But it is one of those positions where you have classroom time where you're working, but then there's time at home. And when you're struggling then with, as you mentioned, sometimes being virtual, sometimes being in person, and the added constraints of COVID, it's really escalated the difficulty for their environment.
Sure. And it's a supposedly 40-hour work week like anybody.
Right.
But I grew up, both my parents were teachers, and so you bring home the grades, you bring home work, and there's always stuff following you.
Sure. And clearly, I mean, they're vital people in the development of young individuals. And so certainly there's an understanding of why we're doing this and why we're trying to solve this recruitment and retention issue. So if this legislation makes it through both chambers and is signed by the governor, how would it be enacted?
So it's a part of the budget, so it would roll out with all those budget constraints, and it would be for next year.
Okay. And as you said, it would be voluntary. So, well, would it be voluntary at the $38,000 minimum?
Right. Yes. It's a voluntary program.
So right now, $25,000 is not. They have to pay that, right?
Right. It's not voluntary. Mm-hmm.
But if they raise it to $38,000, you don't have to.
Yeah. As it stands now, it's, you know, look at your own budget and what you can afford, and is this a viable program for you? And if so, you can apply. And then they would supply that fund to help supplement the income and bring it up from whatever your minimum is to
$30,000. So let me see if I've got this straight. Once it is enacted, the districts would have the option to say, yes, we want to do this. Mm-hmm. So if they're paying right now $32,000 as their minimum, if they thought they could afford it and raise it to $38,000, then they would qualify for this grant. And what was the percentage the state would pay?
70%
of that. Okay. So how have legislators reacted to this, to the testimony and things you've heard? Are they favorable? Do they have concerns about it?
Everyone, both sides of the aisle, you know, recognizes the value of teachers. And I think everyone agrees that we want to do more for teachers and we love to raise their pay. But there's a lot of sticking points, because basically the question is, does this actually solve that problem? Is it going to help the districts that need it, that are actually under that $38,000? And is it going to cause problems for the teachers that are currently in the workforce? So there's some questions about, are veteran teachers going to be making not much more than people who just entered the profession? There's questions on, would it be better to just raise pay across the board? Would it be better to just have a smaller raise for everyone in the teaching profession with this money? Are there other ways that we could implement this that would help everyone and that would keep us competitive with other states? Because right now we're in last place on that.
As they're talking about this, if they were to do this across the board, increase? Are they suggesting it would be a grant-type program similar to this where the state would help fund that, or would it all just be, hey, school districts, you just need to increase your pay for these teachers because we think it's important?
Obviously, that's all still being talked about, but it could be similar to how it is now. Basically, there is this fund. I think Governor Parson set aside around $22 million. Yeah, $22 million for this grant program. So that money is there, and it's from the Missouri Lottery. So it's not going away.
Right.
And so that's available to be used for that. So it could take a different form, and it could still be partially supplemented or fully supplemented by the state.
Okay. So how are the districts? I mean, they're the ones that would be implementing this. What if in your story, which in our show notes, we will certainly put the link to your story, kind of walk us through how the school districts have reacted to this, maybe starting with the largest school district. Let's start with Jeff City. What was their reaction to it?
So Jeff City, their minimum pay is actually already above $38,000. So for them, this is going to be a non-issue. It's not going to have any effect on them as it stands now. If it was this particular sort of grant program, the 30-70, there's no pay to raise for them. So basically, they're talking about being ahead of that game, and they're expecting their pay to continue to rise. They try to raise the salary every so often just to keep competitive. And you really kind of have to keep competitive right now because of that recruitment and retention problem. You're always having to look at salary, look at benefits, and look at the total picture. So they've talked about part of their recruitment and retention efforts. You want to cultivate, you know, kind of a positive environment. You want to keep people there. And then you also want to look at recruiting beyond your typical pool. So instead of maybe just looking at graduates from Central Missouri, where they're competing with cities like Columbia, reaching out, looking a little further, looking in Southern Missouri and Northern and all areas of Missouri.
So we've talked about the largest school district in the area. So let's talk about some of the smaller ones. So what has been the reaction of the smaller districts within our readership area?
In Eugene, at Cole R5, the starting pay is considerably lower, so it'd be about a $7,000 jump.
That's a big jump.
Yeah, to bring that minimum up to the $38,000. And I talked with their superintendent, Charlie Birch, and he told me 60% of the teachers there are under the $38,000. So that's a big budget commitment from a local standpoint, providing that 30% match for all of those staff members. And for a smaller school district like that, that could be really, really tough on a budget.
Yeah. Did he give an indication as to if he was in favor of it or if he thought it was just out of their reach?
I think he's definitely in favor of it. Again, anybody, I think, looking at this would love to raise teacher pay. And he said that Eugene is always looking to bring up the pay, I think, as any district is always trying to raise that and make it a more attractive profession. But he wants to do it in a way that is definitely going to help everybody,
right?
In a way where everybody wins. So, you know, one of his big concerns was wage compression. He was worried about what would this mean for veteran teachers. They've been here for several years. Are they going to be making not much more than their new counterparts? And basically, is it going to be worth the cost that it would cost his district? But absolutely, in favor of helping his teachers make more. I think he would love to do that. He's just not sure what the best way is for him.
Right. Well, and certainly he's got to be a bit between a rock and a hard place here. I mean, if a large district suffers with recruitment and retention, I would think a smaller district would even be a greater problem for them. So do we have any other districts that sharing similar situations?
Yeah, so we have two other districts that we kind of cover here. And so Blair Oaks is in a similar boat to Jeff City. And so they're expecting, with just the natural salary steps and pay increases, that next year they're going to have no teachers under that $38,000. So again, probably for them, not going to have much effect, if any. And then for Russellville, again, a smaller district, I think they told me 20 out of 50 teachers are below the $38,000. So if they had to adjust their salary schedule and adjust the pay there, basically with the funding the local district would have to provide, they could be looking at smaller salary steps. And so basically the salary for teaching is in stepwise increments. So it's like a little grid. So your years of experience increase your salary. And also your education increases your salary. So if you've got a master's degree over a bachelor's and so on and so forth. So those steps, as you progress in your years teaching there, you should make more money. But those steps might get smaller if they are adjusting the salary schedule based on how much they have to put in to bring up those minimum salaries.
Okay.
So again, could be expensive for them, potentially doable, but again, could be maybe not the best way.
Okay. So obviously with April 5th, we got a school board election coming up throughout the region. So what's been the reaction from school board candidates to how to improve? Again, going back to this basic premise, this was a tool to try to improve recruitment and retention. So what is the assessment you've heard from candidates as to how they would try to approach this problem?
And this is something that I think came up a lot in the NEA, the National Education Association forum that they had the other night, because a lot of the members there are teachers. So that's something that's on the mind. They were talking about recruitment and retention, and a lot of factors came up. You know, they talked about teacher pay, but actually, you know, a lot of our districts, especially, so Jefferson City is third in central Missouri in terms of pay. So pretty high for the area. And then Blair Oaks, I believe, is sixth. The Jeff City candidates are thinking, hey, looks okay. But obviously, anytime you can bring that up, we'd love to do that.
Right.
Some of the other factors in recruitment and retention, and something that was echoed by some of the superintendents I spoke to, was just increasing the respect and kind of changing the attitude and the way that you talk about the teaching profession. I think teachers and superintendents, they feel that there's been kind of a shift in the attitude towards teaching. Some of that may have come as a result of just the political climate and the amount that teaching is now in the news and is now talked about at the state capitol. It wears on people. And sure. So just changing the attitude and trying to create a culture that makes people feel respected and want to stay there and feel that they're working in a noble profession.
Right. And among those, I mean, you don't have to go very far to realize what they are. I mean, they're on the front lines when it dealt with, during this COVID pandemic, masks, whether to meet in person. Then there are social issues such as critical race theory, where again, the classrooms kind of become the front line of this politicization of our society right now. So Anna, you mentioned the NEA forum. I'm going to throw a little plug in here. The News Tribune is also hosting a forum for school board candidates on March 16th. It will be at 6 p.m. We will have it at City Hall, and it's an in-person event. You can also watch it on our website, newstribune.com. We'll be streaming it there. I would invite listeners, if they have questions for candidates, whether it's a specific school district or just in general that they would like to ask, they can send an email to vote@newstribune.com, and Anna will be happy to ask the candidates to respond to those questions, and we'll either publish them in an upcoming edition or we'll ask them at the forum. Anna, through this election season, has been and will continue to be doing stories about the individual issues that the districts are facing and get the candidates to weigh in on it. Anna, thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to your stories in the coming weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.